Galatians chapter 3. And Sunday morning we've been in the book of Galatians, and we're at the end of the chapter this morning, so you follow along. And I forgot to also keep Livia in prayer. She's the young lady that's been coming. Stacy's been bringing her. Her great-grandfather passed away, I think it was yesterday. So please keep their family in prayer if you could. I know they would greatly appreciate it. I think his name was Leonard? Leonard. So, but anyway, please keep the family in prayer. I think her grandfather is not doing well either.
No, he's in therapy.
He's in the
hospital.
Yeah, so... What's that?
Father and son.
Yeah, father and son. So the great grandfather passed away, and then her grandfather's down in Syracuse in the hospital, not doing well. So please keep her in prayer and pray that God would just help her. The blessing for her is she accepted the Lord. I think it was last week or a little bit over that. So what a blessing it is that she knows the Lord is her Savior and God can help her through these times. So you follow along. I'm in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye are Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach, and Lord, I pray that you'd use this message for the furtherance of the gospel. Help me with the preaching, help me with the examples, whatever I need to bring forth that would help people be able to understand. Allow the Holy Spirit to work as only you can. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. And yes, these things, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. So as a title, if you want to put a title, one in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. One in Christ Jesus. Now, it's always important when you're reading your Bible, you never take the scripture out of context. And a lot of times that's what happens. People, especially cults, will take a verse out of context and try to explain it away or try to come up with their false doctrine. So you have to remember the book of Galatians. Here it is. God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave Paul the words to pen down to these churches or local churches to help them on this matter about salvation, what the gospel is. And Paul explained that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and no one has the right to change that. No one has the right. God gave it, and since God gave it, that means man can't do it, angel can't do it, church can't do it. No one has the authority to change the gospel. Amen? There's one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you're going to heaven today, it's because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If not, you're not. Amen? It's either heaven or the lake of fire. Amen? There is no middle of ground. So anyway, in this book, he's dealing with that. Then he's also explaining to them how what the purpose of the law, that was kind of last week. The law was not given to save us. The law just showed that we're guilty. We are sinners and we need a Savior. Amen. And it speaks of that. And then you could see going through it, explained the importance of faith. You're saved by faith. It's not keeping the law to keep your salvation. He went through and explained those things. So you have to remember these things, especially because these were Jewish people and sometimes and even Gentile people that would be at these local churches. And some people would come in and say, hey, you have to keep the law now that you have faith. And Paul's trying to explain to him and says, that's not the case. That's not what the Bible says. So when we pick up knowing those main points of what Paul was saying in the first three chapters, what we can see here, first thing is he tells them that we are the same in Christ Jesus. We are the same in Christ Jesus. We see that again in verse 26. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I'll come back to you, verse 27, later in the message. For there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. So here it is. Paul is reminding them, is saying, hey, if you are a Jewish person, you got saved, and there's someone there that's a Gentile that got saved, well, you're all one in Christ. That does not mean that the Jewish people is better than the Gentiles or the Gentiles are better than the Jewish people. He's saying, hey, we're all in Christ. The way that we got in Christ was by faith. He goes on and says in verse 28. So again, you have to remember that in context, right? And that's what he's saying about Jew or Greek, bond or free. You think about it in those days. Do you know still in their days there is slavery? Now, I know people may say, oh, no, that's been gone. Thank God for America and to get rid of that. But I got to tell you, other countries, there's still slavery. But you know, in America, there's still slavery, even though it's illegal. What was it? In Watertown, they caught some people, had some people came in, immigrants that they brought over. And they were kind of like slaves to the job that was there, right? They had things there. I mean, it's this crazy stuff, amen? Can I tell you, thank God for America, but you have to rest assured, there's stuff out now, especially, this is all free for you, amen? Especially young people, and even us that have a few years under us, amen? Can I tell you, you got to watch that internet. You got to watch that social media. There are predators out there that will say that they're a boy or say they're a girl, say that they're the same age as you, to try to get you to ultimately show things of yourself that no one should ever see, should be for marriage. But try to get, and then try to get you to meet up with them so that way they ultimately make you a slave. If you don't think that happens, it does. Amen. You got to really watch. Amen. Or they'll get you to kind of like blackmail you because you've sent pictures to try to get money from you and say, hey, I'm going to tell all your friends. Amen. So anyway, watch what's out there. Amen. And it's a bunch of wicked stuff. Amen. But anyway, when he says bond of free, that's what he refers to. Here it is, let's say that in this time, let's say that they were a Jewish man and he was very wealthy and he accepted Jesus as his Savior. What Paul was saying is, you, sir, are the same as someone that's still in slavery but got saved. You're both the same. Don't look down on that person because they may be a slave or in bondage and you are free. You have money and they don't. No, no, you are one in Christ. And then the last part, he says male or female. He's not talking about the crazy woke stuff that's going on in our world, right? Boy, I tell you, we are living in some crazy days, amen? Where people will say, I'm not a boy, I can be a girl, I can be a girl, I can be a boy. That's crazy stuff, amen? That is surely of the devil. It's perversion, right? The reality is, he's not saying that. Again, in contents, he's saying, hey, you have to remember in those days, there were men that would look down on women. Can I tell you, it's still happening today? I was showing Ariana the Muslim religion. And in that Muslim religion, there was one of their doctors of, I don't know what they would define him as, but they were his doctor. And he says, it is good for the husband to beat his wife. Is it, remember seeing that? You don't have to go to an old, big old story. But and it said, what was the one thing he said?
It said it's good to do it for pleasure, but don't do it to be vindictive.
Yeah. So anyway, so I guess, Chris, you can beat your wife, right? I guarantee you did that. She's going to hit you with a pan, and rightly so, amen? I mean, can you imagine that? Think about that, how it looked down on women, amen? That's just foolishness, amen? I'm telling you. Anyway, you have to think, back in these cultures, in those times, there were men that would look down on women and think they're second-class citizens, kind of like some things are happening. He's saying, hey, we are one in Christ. He's not talking about wokeness that are here. He's saying we are one in Christ. If you accepted Him as your personal Savior, you are born again. Amen? Amen. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, if you accept the Lord as your Savior, you are a child of God. Amen. Look what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and enters in. Amen. You have the witness in yourself. You'll see that in other places. In Ephesians talks about that you're sealed unto the day of redemption. 1 John chapter 5 talks about that you have the witness bearing in you. So you have the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, and the Holy Spirit will confirm to your heart that you are a child of God. Amen. He goes on and says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen? That day that I got saved, the reality is I have been now a child of God. Before I got saved, I was a child of the devil. Now, I didn't think I was the child of the devil. There were some people that knew me thought I was a child of the devil, if you know what I mean. I wasn't the best kid growing up. But the reality is, I was adopted. I was born again. I was in. I don't have to worry about going under bondage again. What is he speaking of there? Well, bondage, you think about before you got saved, you're in the bondage of sin. You're under the penalty of sin. You can't undo that. Just like someone that may be in slavery and they can't get out because maybe they have chains that are there. Because of your sin, you're in that bondage. There's nothing you can do to undo what you have already done. The Bible says that you are dead in your sins. Folks, can I tell you, but when you accept Christ, you have been set free. Do you know who has freedom today? Yes, I know in countries, but I'm talking about freedom as in spiritually, in life. Christians. You and I have freedoms if you accepted Jesus. God, I am free. I've been set free. But before I got saved, I was in bondage. I couldn't get out. Folks, can I tell you, think about what Jesus has done. And look what he says in verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit and say, yeah, you are a child of God. Can I tell you, when I got saved, it was a little bit after that, the devil started to get me to doubt. Say, did you really believe on the Lord? You know, he tried to get me to doubt. Do you know how I got it settled? Yes, I went and talked to some pastor, a missionary. But you know how I got it settled? They explained to me, God will reveal it to you. Amen? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, dwells in you, will bear witness with your spirit. So what that means is when you pick up this Bible and start reading it, the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and say, yes, that's you. You are a child of God, right? Think about John 3:16. Most of us know John 3:16, but it talks about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, can I tell you, when I get to verses like that, you know what? The Holy Spirit bears witness that I am a child of God. If you go to the Scripture and the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to your heart, I'm not talking about an audible voice and saying, hey, you know? I mean, he'll speak to your heart. Folks, can I tell you, he'll bear witness. You can believe. God said it. Amen. And so anyway, he says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that ye suffer with him, that ye may be glorified together. Now, we'll break down this verse a little bit more as we get into chapter 4 about being an heir of Christ, what that means. But we could see here, he tells us, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, doesn't matter if you're a Gentile, that you're an heir. Amen. You are a child of God. Look what the Bible says over here to chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10. So what Paul was given to him, it says there is neither Jew nor Gentile, right? Bond or free, male or female. He's talking about we are in Christ, right? You're a believer. Amen. In Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, look what he says here starting in verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. There's the gospel. God loved you enough that he sent his only begotten son from heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, to come here to die on the cross for your sins and mine. He paid your sin debt, was buried and rose again. When you receive him by faith, he'll save you. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the belief, right? You truly believe in your heart. Amen? Yes, you'll call out to the Lord, but the reality is that belief. That day that I got saved, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me. And look what he says. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Amen? Whosoever, that means all can come to him. You may say, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I did. And I'm not going to tell you. Amen? But the reality is this. It doesn't matter what you have done. He's willing to forgive you. He died on the cross. Remember as those two thieves were with him? I mean, that guy was a thief. He deserved to die. And Jesus saved him. I mean, he was on his deathbed. If he didn't put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that man would have died and went to hell that day. But because he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was born again. Amen? Folks, what a wonderful thing. It says, whosoever. And look at verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Again, he's reminded, just like in Galatians. What? We're all the same. Amen? As in, you get saved, they get saved. Doesn't matter. We are in Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you, are you saved here today? Have you accepted the Lord as your Savior? If so, can I tell you, you have evidence that you're born again. Amen? But think about what a wonderful blessing it is. If you die today, hopefully you don't, but you're going to heaven. Now go back here to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, I want you to look back here at verse 27. That was a verse I skipped and I told you I'd come back to it. In Galatians chapter 3, look what he says here in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 27. It says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now again, you'll have people that will take this verse out of context and try to justify a water baptism for salvation. But you're reading into it of something that's not in there, right? He says baptized into Christ, right? He didn't say baptized into the water, right? In the water that's there. But here is he speaking about spiritual baptism. There's a difference between water baptism and spiritual baptism, right? And here it is, he's referring to spiritual baptism, that day that you got saved. You might say, preacher, do you have a verse on that? Sure. Look at 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about the Holy Spirit, right? That day that you got saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you think about it, if he was talking about water baptism, that would be works. Works cannot save you, which is very clear as we've been going through the book of Galatians, that's saying by faith, but he says into Christ. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look here starting at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now he's talking about the church, right? You think about the local church. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, right? Now he refers to getting how you got saved, Holy Spirit, right? He speaks of that, right? What is it? Spirit, which we are baptized into one body, for whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, we all been made to drink into that one Spirit, right? So here he's talking spiritually. You got saved. You accepted the Lord. Holy Spirit convicts you. The Holy Spirit will save you. You have to make that decision. So here it is. He's talking about spiritual baptism. Amen? That's just salvation. Amen? If you look over here to the book of John, in John chapter 1, Paul was not saying in Galatians you had to be baptized, as in water baptism. He wasn't referring to that. Look over here to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1. In John chapter 1. Look here at verse 8. Now, it speaks of John. You see that in verse 6. But look down here at verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You think about John the Baptist was there. He was a forerunner. He came and was telling people, you know, behold the Lamb of God when Jesus was there. But he was baptizing people to get people ready and say, hey, you know, he's coming. That was the true light. It's capitalized, speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You think about it, he is the creator. He created all things. He's God. Amen. He came down, born of a virgin. He came unto his own, right? The Jewish people. What was it? Those Jewish people rejected him, and his own received him not. They were all happy when he was there, and maybe they were being fed by him. They were all happy about that. Whoa, we're getting food. This is great, right? Help us and stuff. But the reality is that's what they were looking for. They were looking for someone to help them out of their problems. They weren't looking for a Savior. And look what he says in verse 12. But as many as received him, right, by faith, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's how you get saved. Amen. You become in Christ by belief. It says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Salvation, you see this, is not of blood. Just because your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents are Christians does not mean that you are. You have to make a decision. That's what he's saying. Not of blood. Up in this area, I have run into a lot of people that are Catholic, and it's not just first generation Catholic, but it's like third, fourth, and some of them, I don't know, go back to maybe, if I asked them, probably even the third century, maybe, if you understand what I mean, when the Catholic church started. But the reality is, I mean, it's like generation. I'll ask them, I'll say, hey, are you a Christian? And a lot of them will tell me, yeah. And I'll say, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm Catholic. Well, I said, you're Catholic. You're not Christian. And then they get really mad at you. But then you ask them, what are you trusting in? Right? They're trusting in their works or trusting in their baptism or trusting in someone to pray them out of purgatory. And I'll be like, where is that in the Bible? Right? Well, I don't know. It's not. Amen? But anyway, it's not of blood. It says, nor the will of the flesh. You know what that means? That means, Doris, I can't make you become a Christian. Now, I can share the gospel with you and hope that you accept the Lord as your Savior, but I cannot force her to become a Christian. I wish every single person that was in this room was a Christian. I do. Amen. There's people that I have that I love and care for that I wish they were Christians. I wish sometimes, Chris, I could take some duct tape or that Gorilla tape. That stuff I think I like better, Gorilla tape. And Gorilla tape them and bring them to church. Well, that doesn't work, right? That would be kidnapping. That's wrong. Amen. And then reality is, I wish I could force them. Well, that's not salvation. If you have to force someone to make a decision, that's not a free will, right? Islam, that's what it is. Submission. They force, right? If you don't convert to Islam, we're going to kill you. If you don't convert to Islam, we're going to kill your family. You know? That's not a free will. He's offering a free gift to you. It says, nor the will of man, right? You can't do it. I can't force you, right? You can't save yourself. You can't undo what you have already done. And that's what he says, but of God. God can. It's a spiritual birth, amen? So what he's speaking of in Galatians, he's talking about a not water baptism, but he's talking about a spiritual baptism, which is salvation. So you may ask them, then what is baptism as water baptism? Why do we do that? Well, look over here to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 6. Here's an easy way for you to remember when you run into someone and say they believe in baptism. That will save them. Do you remember, as you're turning to Romans chapter 6, do you remember there was a guy named Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night? You'll find that in John chapter 3. Most of you probably know John 3:16, right? If I asked you to quote it, most of you could probably quote it. May get a word or two wrong, but most of you could probably quote it. Jesus was telling that to Nicodemus. who was a ruler. He came to Jesus. He was a teacher. And he asked a question to the Lord. The Lord knew his heart. And he told him, he said, you must be born again. Nicodemus scratched his head. Well, I don't know if he scratched his head, but that's just my mind. Like, how can I go back into my mother's womb to be born again? He didn't understand that. And then he told him, he says, that which is born of what? This is what happens. You get old like me and get forgetful. Amen. Let me just read it real fast for you, because I don't want to misquote it here. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. That means when you're born, your mother's sack broke, the water that's there. And of the Spirit, capitalized, it's talking about a spiritual birth. You cannot see, enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus did not know this. And Jesus told him, he says, art thou a master or teacher of Israel, knoweth not these things? And he went through and explained salvation to him, right? Because he was saying these things to him. And what did Jesus tell him? Did Jesus tell him you have to keep the law? No. Even though this was during the time of the law. John the Baptist was still baptizing people. Did he say, hey, go to John the Baptist and be baptized? No. What did he say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What did He tell him? Believe on Him. Amen? Still during the time of law, during the time where people get baptized, He didn't say those things. He said, believe on Him. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're looking at Romans chapter 6, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, so what is baptism? Well, I'll explain it to you. We'll see here he talks about spiritual baptism, but we could see what baptism is. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here it is, you got saved. And does that mean you can live any which way you want to? God forbid, right? God forbid. What he's saying is, no, God wants you to live for Him, right? It says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Amen. There should be a new desire in your life. You want to serve God. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized in His death? He's saying what happened to us, right? He's not talking about water baptism. He's talking spiritually. You accepted Christ as your Savior. You're born again. It says, therefore, we were buried with Him by baptism into death. He's saying spiritually, accepted Christ. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen? You know what water baptism is? Water baptism is a picture of what Jesus Christ did for you. Jesus, what? He died for us, was buried, and He rose again. So the reality is when you get baptized, after you get saved, you get baptized, what you're telling the world is you identify with what Jesus did to you. You are a new creature. You're telling the world, hey, I am a believer now. I accepted Christ. I am no longer the same person I was because I am in Christ. It is a picture. So do you think about it, when someone gets saved, the first step of obedience is baptism. You want to get baptized and say, hey, I want to get baptized. I want to tell the world that I am a Christian now. If you look over here to the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28, if you look at the end, in Matthew 28, verse starting at verse 18, in Matthew 28 and verse 18, the Bible says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, so this is after He arose again, before He ascended. This is what's defined as the Great Commission to the local churches. It says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. One name, it's Trinity. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the great three in one. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So you think about it, when you get baptized, it is obedient. It's being obedient to what God asked us to do. God's saying when you get saved, God then wants you to get baptized. Amen. It's simple. Amen. Now, what happens? Sometimes we get scared, right? Some people don't like water, right? And but the reality is, God will help you. Amen. God will help you to be baptized. That's there. I have baptized people not one time yet. I say yet. Have I ever had someone die? Yet. Well, there's some people I want it to hold down a little longer. No, I'm just joking. But no, not a single person. Amen. Why? You're identifying and saying, hey, this is what I am. I'm a Christian. Jesus saved me. My life is different. Amen. And the reality is, you can see this. It's a commandment of God. Amen. God wants you to be baptized. Amen. And so it's first step of obedience. It's belief and saying that God said it. I will do it. Amen. Look at the Bible says over here to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8. 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 Look down here, verse 26. Acts 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and was come to Jerusalem for to worship. Hey, he's like me, a numbers geek. Amen. We can see that. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, ready, Esaias, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, which said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I? Can I tell you, a lost person won't understand this Bible. That doesn't mean there's not some things that you'll glean from it that you may have learned or heard through preaching that's there. The reality is this. The Bible says the natural man, right? I mean, it's a lost person, right? The Holy Spirit will be working on you when you read something that will try to point you to Christ. He didn't understand it. So he asked him, he says, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his tears, so he opened not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. This is the book of Isaiah. You can find it in Isaiah chapter 53. If you read there, that was a prophecy that was written of Jesus to come and ultimately to be our Savior. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. That's the best thing you can do. Amen. Just start preaching the Lord Jesus Christ to people and let them see. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? He asked a very important question. You want to understand what baptism is? Why we get baptized? This man that was a lost person knew that it was important to being baptized. He knew that. So as they were going on the chariot, they saw water that was there, and he asked a question, what does hinder me to be baptized? Can I just be baptized? This is all free for you. You can check it out later. But you know, the majority of the modern translations get rid of verse 37 completely. They take out the reason why. That's why I like this good old King James Bible. Amen. It's preserved word of God. Here it is. He tells him, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. There is a qualification or requirement to be baptized by water. if you've been born again. If you haven't been born again, then the reality is you shouldn't give water baptism. Water, you know, you think about it. If you're lost and say, well, I'm going to get baptized, you know what happens when you come out of that water? You are now a wet, lost person. Amen? Nothing. Amen? Baptism is always after salvation. You'll never find it before in the Scripture that's done. Right? Matter of fact, what we see here, he gave the inquiring answer and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He gave a testimony. He believed who He is. And the Bible says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still and went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And the eunuch said unto him, saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Amen. So what was it? He made a testimony, faith, of saying he accepted the Lord as his Savior. They stopped the chariot. They went down into the water, and he baptized them. That word baptized is actually, I think I wrote it down. Where is it? Oh, my. This is what happens when you get old. Your eyes are starting to mess up. It's here. Is defined as immerse and submerge, right? Dip. Amen? That's the definition of the word, right? So what did he do? He took him in the water, took him down, and took him up. Amen? Why? Because it's a picture of what Jesus did. Death, burial, and resurrection. You know, you won't find, you go back in old days in history, I was just reading an old history book, Baptist history, I can't remember the gentleman, but for the first, I forget how many years, you never heard people baptizing by pouring water, sprinkling them, right? It's a doctrine, a false doctrine that came out later. It's always been by emergent, or going down, right? That's there. So anyway, we can see the correct mode. The whole way down, the whole way up. Amen? If not, it wouldn't be a picture. You know one of the things as a pastor I hate doing? I hate doing funerals. Funerals are one of the worst things. And I'd rather do anything. Right? I'd rather clean the toilets any day than do a funeral. I really do. I don't like doing that either, but because people are hurt. But you know, when you think about when someone is, you do the funeral and afterwards they'll have a burial that's there. They take the coffin, they put it down into the ground, and then sometimes people may throw a flower or something that's there, and then they'll leave. And then the funeral director has his men that are there, ladies that are there, and they'll take and they'll cover the person in. Usually they don't do that because of the family there. But they're buried, right? So you think about what burying is, right? Jesus, you know, went into the tomb. You didn't see, right? Whole way in, amen, coming up. So anyway, we could see the mode that's here, amen? We see the way that they did it, amen? And it's always after. You'll never find infant baptism in this Bible. Nowhere. You know why? Because it's not Scripture, right? So, again, he gave the qualifications. He asked, what does hinder me be baptized? He believed on the Lord, and he said, well, you can. When you have a little baby, right? Babies are precious, amen? That little baby does not understand, right? And for those, and they just sprinkle them or pour a little water on it. But that's not baptism, right? And that little baby cannot make say, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, right? That'd be neat, amen, a little baby that could, right? You know, you guys are working with your kids, and after so many months, you're all happy when they say, yeah, you know, yeah. And what do you say? He said dad, and you're like, no, he said mom, right? You know, the reality is infants, they can't talk. They can't make the decision, right? You'll always find baptism in the Bible after someone made a profession of faith, right? That is what baptism is. It's a picture, right? An infant can't say that Jesus saved them. Well, the reality is, if they die, we hope they don't, but if they do die alone, they go to heaven, amen? They didn't have an opportunity to accept, or not age, I should say. But anyway, baptism is always after. When I got saved, I was 20-some years old, and I remember my preacher said something to me, which I already knew, that he said, hey, when are you going to get baptized? Now, people thought I was already a Christian. But I didn't care. Because what I was before, I wasn't a Christian. I was a Judas. I was a fake. But when I got saved, I said, yeah, I get baptized. Because I want everyone to know that I accepted Jesus. Amen? Amen. And I got baptized. Amen? And he put me right in that tank that was there. And he put me the whole way under. I came up. And that was a glorious thing. Amen? Because I was telling the congregation that I am a new Dan. That Jesus saved me. Amen? I wasn't trusting in that water baptism. No, no, no. I already trusted in the Lord. Amen? But I wanted them to know. Amen? And I was identifying. Folks, can I tell you? It's what God wants you to do. Amen? So when you get saved, spiritually, right? It's the Holy Spirit convicts you. You get saved. You accept Him as your Lord. That means if you die, you go to heaven. That thief that died on the cross beside Jesus, he never came down and got baptized. Those that trust in baptism, think about it. He didn't get baptized. But Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, that man couldn't be baptized because he couldn't come down. Well, he's still in heaven. Well, you could still go to heaven without being baptized. But God wants you to be baptized, not because to keep your salvation or earn your salvation, but for you in obedience and saying, yep, I want the world to know that I identify I'm a Christian and Jesus saved me. Amen. If you're here today and you haven't been saved, amen, baptism's not going to do anything to you. I was baptized before I became a Christian. You know what I did? Nothing. But after I got saved, I was baptized. If you're here today and you've never been baptized, make sure that you are, amen? Say something. But more importantly, if you have never been saved, you will die and spend eternity in hell. You may say, preacher, that's mean. Well, that's the truth. I didn't like it when my doctor told me that I had cancer. I didn't punch him in the nose. I was glad he told me, even though I didn't want to hear the news. Right? And then, thank God, he told me, hey, what we could do about it. Woohoo, right? That's what you want to hear. Hey, I'm telling you, hell is a real place. If you die without Christ, you'll spend eternity. You may not like that, but I got good news. Jesus is willing to pay your sin debt. He's willing to pay it in full. And what he's saying is, you just come by faith and he'll save you. What a glorious thing. Amen. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message today was a help and a blessing. I pray that it would work on our hearts to, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, I pray that they would accept you as their Savior. And Lord, that they would believe on you. And Lord, I pray that if there be those here today that maybe hasn't been baptized yet after they got saved, I pray they would come and make it known. And Lord, I could talk to them and we can set up a time to baptize them. And Lord, I pray that for those that are saved here today, I pray that this message would remind us of what Jesus did, remind us of that day that we did, were obedient in baptism, and we would do our best to try to reach others. And explain to others what baptism is. Lord, I pray that you'd use this invitation for your honor and your glory in Jesus' precious name. With eyes closed and no one looking, if you're able to stand to your feet.